We want the Spirit to be present. We had the McKamey's here a couple of weeks ago, and when they were done, somebody said, "Is it over already?" I said, "They've sang for an hour and a half without stopping." You know why you don't recognize the time? Because the Holy Spirit is moving. Now, if y'all watch them hour-long footballs, y'all know it takes 3.5 hours. We left the house the other day, and we were going to ride up there, and there were 5 minutes left in the football game. We drove from the house to Hiram, sat in the parking lot of the academy because we just couldn't stand it till it was over. 1 minute, 21 seconds took 15 minutes. I'm not going to be like that, but I have to have a little bit of time this morning. Let's look at the Word of God, Luke chapter number 15, very familiar scripture, the parable of the lost son, beginning in the 11th verse, and it says, "And he said," this is Jesus speaking to them, a parable, a story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Now, folks, there's so many messages and lessons in this scripture, and I have preached on this scripture so many different times and many different ways. But, you know, my heart this morning in the title of the message is this: Headed for the Hog Pen. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. There's a lot of different lessons and messages in this scripture, but I'll tell you where my heart's at. Sometimes my heart is very heavy when I see what people are doing to themselves. When I see where we're at in this world and I see the direction that people are going and the things that people are doing. You know, there's a verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 that this young man should have listened to. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And I'll say this to you young people. If your mama and daddy are bringing you to the house of God and they love you enough to have you here, and I'm talking about love you enough to tell you you're coming whether you want to or not, amen, then they ought to have enough influence and enough of God in them that they're going to be a good influence in your life. Yeah. If there's a boy that comes into your life, young ladies, and your daddy don't like them, there might be a reason for that. Young lady, if there's a guy that comes into your life, and I've had this experience myself, and mama says, "You stay away from that," you better listen. Yeah. You better listen, okay? I know this is a little bit old-fashioned preaching this morning, but that's just me. One day I'll go fishing, and y'all might have you a contemporary speaker, but I'm not that. And I'm just going to have to obey the Lord this morning and tell you what's on my heart. Now, here's what I want you to think about for just a minute. I want you to see a mama and a daddy that have a son that they love. They've raised him. They've taught him right. They've cared for him. And the days coming up and the months leading up to him leaving home, here's one thing I know. Looking at the Word of God, this boy was raised in a home where that God was present. Okay? It wasn't a home to where there wasn't any talk about the things of God. Okay, I want you to understand that listening. Remember, think about the conversation, if you can call it that. And here's the way it is. Sometimes we come into the house of God, and let's just be honest, we get to church, and we get here, if you would have it, by the skin of our teeth. It wasn't pleasant at home. In fact, if you will have it, it was a fight. It was an argument. It's almost like, I don't think I'm going this morning because it's too bad. Let's just be honest, okay? That's what's going on in this house. Imagine the tears of a mother who is standing in the background as she sees a son and a dad coming together. And he said, just give me what's mine. I'm leaving. I'm not listening to your rules anymore. I'm not doing it the way you want to do it. I'm old enough to make my own decisions and I'm out the door. You know what mama's doing? She's standing in the background with tears running down her face saying, that's my boy. Where's he going to go? What's he going to do? I'll tell you where he's headed. He's headed for the hog pen. You see, sometimes parents, especially mothers, will suffer long with a rebellious child because they do not want them to leave and go somewhere that they will be hurt. That's the heart. You know, here's what parents will say, and this is true. I don't want you to go through what I went through. And they're serious about it. You know, one thing that I want for my kids is I want everything better for them than I've had for myself. Everything. Now, when you look at this scripture, I want you to think about this. How do you know when someone is headed for the hog pen? Here's some thoughts. Number one, they will not follow direction. They're rebellious. You know, if you are unteachable, then you cannot be taught. You ever met somebody? I saw a sign, and it was urgent, urgent. And I had a guy, he was hollering at the seniors in high school. He says, oh, guys and ladies, y'all need to leave home now while you know everything. Because in just a few years, you're going to realize that you don't know everything, and it's going to be too late for you. Nobody knows everything. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. You must be teachable, and you must be willing to follow direction. They will not receive instruction. Unteachable spirit will not accept correction. And I want to tell you something that I think is a sign of spiritual maturity, and I'm talking about Christians who are on the meat of the Word of God, is you must be willing and ready to accept correction when it comes along. If you study the Word of God and you read stories about a man named David, who was the king that God anointed, and how he received the correction of the Lord, you read about a priest named Eli and how he received the correction of the Lord, you will see that receiving correction is a sign of strength and maturity in Christ. Why do we receive correction? Because we all need it, and we're all in an earthly, human, fleshly body, and none of us are right all the time. You know, you can't say it's somebody else's fault. Folks, it's not always somebody else's fault. You must have respect for the authority that God places in your life. Sometimes people rebel, they get upset, they want to get together and they want to talk about it, when in reality what they need to do is just accept the authority that God has placed in their life and do the right thing. And I want to tell you a conversation that I've had with my boys, because I don't let them get away with it. I say, if you cannot be taught, you cannot be a leader. Amen? If you're not willing to follow direction, don't ask me to put you in charge of anything. And that's true of anybody, because I remember one time we was down there at work. We had all this stuff to do. I had about 10 temps standing there. And I said, who wants to work tomorrow? Well, everybody. One guy, he said, well, I'll come, but I want to be a supervisor. Sound like Tommy Bruce. I said, well, brother, I tell you what, you can come, but you know what you got to do to be a supervisor? You got to learn how to work. And if you want to be a leader, you need to learn how to follow direction first. Because if you're a leader, you're the biggest servant in the house. You're responsible. See, some things that people will say when they're headed for the hog pen. I'm old enough. I'm smart enough. I'm mature enough to do what I want to do. I don't have to listen to you or anybody else anymore. Then here's one. My friends are doing it, so why can't I do it? Oh, don't follow the world. How about this? And folks, this is for all ages. It's none of anybody's business what I do. Can I tell you that I know that my opinion means about that much? But God sees you. And God's put me in a very, very careful situation in that I am required to sound the alarm. I am required to preach what God gives me, whether I like it or not, whether I want to or not, because one day I'm going to stand before Him and I'm going to give an account for the position that He has placed in me. The Bible says, unto whomsoever much is given. And when somebody comes along that loves God and loves you, you need to listen to what they're telling you. It's God's business. It's my life. I'll do whatever I want to. I'm sick of being told what to do. Quit questioning me about what I'm doing. I told you I do not have a problem. You know, sometimes we hear this stuff and we just think about this guy. He's going off down here and he's got righteous living. But let me tell you something else. You don't have to be running after drugs and alcohol to be headed for the hog pen. I tell you where you can be. You can be in the house of God thinking you're the only one that's right. You can be in the house of God saying it's my way or the highway. You can be in the house of God and you get your feelings hurt at the drop of a hat. You know what most people do, Brother Billy? They go home and they quit on God because they're not willing to surrender and get in an altar and get their heart right with God. Folks, Jesus is coming and we need to get serious about the work of God and the service of God and do the things that God wants us to do. I want to tell you something. One of the hardest, I'm going to have to move, I know. One of the hardest places that I've ever been in as a Christian. I had pastored a church before. I had been ordained. I was licensed to preach, but God put me in a place so that He could teach me. I was in a church that I had a pastor that I did not like. I had an assistant pastor that I did not like. And God put me in a place, and He told me, that's where I want you to be. Quit complaining and do what you're supposed to do. You know what He was doing, Brother Rick? He was teaching me how to serve. He was teaching me how to be humble. He was teaching me that if I'm going to lead others, I've got to learn how to follow. And sometimes, folks, it's not about you. It's about Him. You can be headed for the hog pen by not being right with God in the house of God. How do I know? I got the t-shirt, folks. Let me give you some facts about the hog pen. Consider this. When people leave in a rebellious spirit, here's some things about the hog pen. It's never where you think you're going to end up. See, nobody ever says, I'm going to rebel and ruin my life. No, they don't. I tell you what they do, they get down or they get weak or they have a bad moment. Or, consider this, especially young people, they got somebody they think is their friend. You know, I'll tell you what drives me out of my mind. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes in the flesh, I have to pray before I get in the position I need to pray. It's when I see people that say that they're your friend and they try to offer you drugs. They want to give you crystal meth or they want to give you opiates or they want to give you something that they say, well, if you'll just take this, you'll feel better. I tell you where you're headed if you take that. You're headed to the hog pen. Amen. See, the hog pen is a place that nobody ever thinks they're going to. But when you rebel against God, you rebel against authority, that's where you go. You know, here's the thing about the hog pen. The hog pen is a dirty place. It stinks. If you've ever slopped hogs, and I have just a little bit. I remember we went over to Alabama. I had an uncle that lived up on top of Sound Mountain. They had set a 5-gallon bucket in the kitchen. Every time they didn't rake stuff in the garbage, they raked it in that 5-gallon bucket. They had corn cobs in there where they'd eat them. They had all kind of gravy and all the cold food and eggs and junk put in there. You know, it just that I would look at it and I'd think, that's gross. You know what that was? That was food for the hogs. And when you took the slop bucket out and you poured it into the trough, or sometimes you even poured it on the ground, I tell you what would happen, it would sour. And as it soured and it would get mixed in the mud and the straw, and some of you have seen this, I tell you what, you could wash that pig, you could clean it, and it still stunk because it was a pig in a hog pen. See, the problem with the hog pen is it stinks even when it shines. See, here's what I want people to understand. Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, the pride of life. You see, don't be deceived by the pull of this world, because here's what I want you to understand, folks. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There is no such thing as what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. God sees you. Now, what about us Christians? You say, well, I'm not like that. Here's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 1, that I do not like. This is one of those verses, Brother Allen, I just don't like it. It says this, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You see, they had this ointment, and the flies would come, and they would get in the ointment. And when they got in there, it would begin to stink. I remember one time I was over at my Aunt Bonnie's house, and I snuck in. I was in the living room, and she had a Sprite sitting on the coffee table. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. When I was growing up little, we didn't get Cokes every day. We bought a 2-liter Coke at the grocery store on Friday or Saturday, and that was it. That's just, it's a different life today. Y'all are so blessed, you don't even know how blessed you are. And I remember I was sitting there in my Aunt Bonnie's house, and she had that Sprite bottle sitting there, and I picked it up. Nobody was around. I did this. I was just a kid. I turned that thing up. I felt boom, boom, boom. That thing was full of flies. We'd been sitting there for so long. And you laugh, but here's what I want you to understand. I learned a lesson. I didn't tell nobody. Till today. Well, what's that got to do with this? Here's what I want you to understand. You know, it's always somebody else that's got a problem. But here's what I want us to understand as Christians. It says, a little folly. When you are a Christian and a child of God, you have a reputation that you're supposed to be representing Christ. You're called Christians, and they were called Christians first at Antioch. You know, it takes a long time to build a testimony and a relationship with God. You know, it takes just a little time to lose it. You know, it says, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Here's something else about the hog pen. Not everybody who goes to the hog pen gets to come home like this boy did. You know, this saddens me, but it's true. This boy got down to the hog pen, and he was about to eat that slop. And he said, my dad's servants have bread to spare. I'm just going to go back home, and I'm going to be a servant. And can I tell you this? If you're at the hog pen and you want to come home, you better come home as a servant. You don't come home demanding your rights. You don't come home saying, hey, I'm back. Everybody step out of my way. Where's my room? Where's my stuff? You come humble. You come obedient. And you got to prove yourself because you've been off out there living in the hog pen. You don't expect people to come back and expect you to be all right. They remember the way you were when you left. But here's the thing about the hog pen. Some people go to the hog pen and they die in the hog pen. And it's very sad to me, and working in Celebrate Recovery Ministry, Brother Tom, that's probably been one of the most difficult things for me. It's to minister to people and love them and be seeing them make progress and then have to preach their funeral. It breaks my heart. You see, here's what the hog pen's like for a person that's in a hog pen. Could you imagine being in a jail cell and the door slams behind you? And you think, I want out. Somebody walks over and they got a key in their hand, and on that key is grace. And they stick that key in that lock and they turn it and they open that door and they just open it and they look at you and they nod. And you see them walk away. You know, but here's what a lot of people do. That door's open, that grace has come, but they've gotten so comfortable in the hog pen that they're living in a jail cell with an open door, and they're going to stay in that jail cell and they're going to die because they don't have enough sense about them to recognize where they're at and to walk out of it. That's why if you're in trouble and you're not seeking God, you may not like his preaching, but I want to tell you something. You're going to end up dead. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Or you're going to end up not having any life at all. Not accepting responsibility for the things that God has placed on you. Because you're living in your own jail cell. And you're not willing to walk out of it. The door is open and grace has come and God's mercy has been poured out. But people won't move. And that's sad. Here's another thing about the hog pen, church. Those who do return from the hog pen often have lasting scars. You see, God will forgive. And can I tell you something, church? You need to forgive. You may not have the problem that somebody else has got, but there's not a person in this house that if it were not for the grace of God, you'd die and go to hell. So we need to thank God for His mercy, and we need to forgive. But sometimes when you go to the hog pen, you come back with lasting scars. And those events and the things that you've done have consequences. Now here's the consequence for this man. He took half of everything his dad had. And he left with it. And when he come back, it was gone. Had a man at a church I used to pastor told me he owned his own business and for years he was very prosperous. He looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, I have spent $375,000 trying to get my daughter off drugs. He said, it's got to the point that even though I'm up in my 80s, I don't even know if I'm going to have enough money for me and my wife to live out our retiring years. Those are financial consequences. I want to tell you about some consequences to the body. You say, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. But you come in and you've taken and you've deteriorated your body to the extent you may not even have the strength to do the things that God wants you to do. I told a man recently, I said, God has put a call on your life. God has called you to the ministry and you're out here in the world not doing what God wants you to do. Here's what's going to happen if you don't change is you're going to wait till it's too late and the door of mercy is going to be closed and God's going to call you out. You might go to heaven, but what are you going to stand before God with in your hands? Amen. Because your opportunity is past. I want to give you this. What you should do and what you should not do when the ones you love are headed for or are in the hog pen. Number one, do not compromise. Hold your ground on what you know is right. Sin is sin even when it is close to you. If it's your son, if it's your daughter, if it's your spouse, it's still wrong. Do not compromise. You cannot look the other way. You're responsible for what you say and do. Remember Eli. Eli had sons. And he was judged. You can find the story in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number. In chapter 3, to where Eli's sons got away from God and he did not scold them and he allowed them to continue. Now, based on what I read in this scripture, they were there ministering in the temple and they were out of God's will. And he went to them and said, y'all ought not to do that. He told them, he's okay in front of God. No. You know what he should have done? He should have put them out of the temple, Brother Tom. He should have said, you're not going to act like that and come in here. These people are coming in here to serve God. You cannot and you will not do that. Now, let me tell you something. There ain't no way that you should ever allow anybody that's bringing drugs into your house to be there. Amen. It's not no. How in the world can you expect? I tell my boys, I love you, I'll die for you. But if you live in this house, you're going to live right with God. Amen. I know this is not popular. Somebody might need to be saved this morning. Amen. You know, somebody might need their life saved this morning. Amen. You can't withhold truth. You know what it means to love somebody to death? Just here's what you do. Just keep making excuses for them. Just withhold truth. That's all you got to do. Keep making excuses for the way they're doing. Never expect any change. Just love them to death. We call that being an enabler. It's when you enable somebody to do the things that they are doing to destroy themselves. See, there comes a time when you have to say no. Sometimes in ministry, church, I love y'all. I love this church. I love the Lord and I love the Word of God. But sometimes I look and I have so many things coming at me. Imagine what God must feel like. All the prayers from all the people, all the broken hearts, all the sickness, all the disease. You know, we sit and we have prayer requests, Brother Ken, and it's one after another. Pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. Pray for my loved one. If it's not sick, it's something that they're going through in their life that's absolutely going to destroy them. And sometimes I get it on my heart and my mind, and I just look up and I say, God, I know you hear us and I know you love us. But if you ever just said, God, my heart's so heavy. My heart's so heavy. Here's what I want you to understand. Don't quit. Do not sit down on God because your loved one or somebody you care for chose to. Do not quit on each other. And here's something that's true. It's not popular, but it's true. Never, families, listen to me, families. Never let a rebel drive a wedge in your home. I want to tell you something will happen to a rebellious child. They'll get to the point that they don't care if mom and daddy split up if they get their way. You say, I don't believe that. Hey, I've seen it too many times. They'll get to the point that you know how they are. You know how they come. This is where mama, can I go so-and-so? Now, this is the light side of it. Well, no, you can't go. Then they go, daddy, can I go so-and-so? And then they keep on, Brother Ken, till they say, and then I say, go ask your mama. Daddy said it's all right with him if it's all right with you. Now, that's the light side of it. Let me tell you how when it gets bad, it's when they're not right, and you know they're not right, and you get weary with fighting it to the extent, don't defend them when they're wrong. Don't let a rebel drive a wedge in your marriage, and can we take it one step farther? Don't let a rebel drive a wedge in your church. Amen. We want to do what God wants, and everything around here, we want it to be about Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. We want Him to get honor. We want Him to be glorified. We want Him to be Lord of lords and King of kings. We want to see people saved. And we want to see people healed. We want to see homes grow. And you don't be weary. Bible says in Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. You know, I think sometimes about what Jesus must have went through. He went to them and he sought to love them, to care for them, and he stood before Jerusalem with his arms stretched out and says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and slayest them that are sent unto you, how often I would have gathered thy children together as a mother hen under her brood, and you would not. You know what they said? Away with him. Give us Barabbas. He just said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And let me give you this one more, and I'll try to close. I'll get ready with a song. Don't blame God. Sometimes people do that. They say, well, if God's God, why did this happen to mine? I'll tell you why it happened to yours. Because they chose to go down that path. Can you imagine this man as he comes back in the house after the boy had walked down the yard and he looked at his wife, tears running down her face, and he looked at her and he said, honey, I don't know what else to do. I've cared for him. I've loved him. We've taught him what's right. You know what Job's wife said to him? Well, you ought to just curse God and die. No, I tell you what you do. You just keep pressing on. You just keep holding up the standard. You keep serving God. You be faithful to God. You keep God first. Remain in unity in your home. And here's what you can know. I heard a preacher say this one time preaching up at Whitworth Memorial. He's talking about his son. He said, I told my son wasn't right with the Lord. He said, boy, God has got your number. He said, I think I scared him. Why don't we have more of that today? I'll tell you why we don't. Because when God grabs a hold of them, you know what we say? Oh, God, I didn't want you to do that to them. What we ought to be saying is, God, get a hold of them. You know the most important thing that you'll ever do with your life? It's not where you go to school. It's not how much money you make. It's not how big your house is. It's what are you going to do with your life that glorifies God. I don't care what else you have. None of that other stuff matters if God's not first. See, what we need, number one, is a realization. Here's a realization. No more denial. It's me. It's me. It's not nobody else. Quit blaming everybody else and you get right with God. If you can't control nobody else. And that begins with a regeneration. That's born again. Just as if I had never sinned, as I stand before him, and then I sit before him, just like I am, with my scars and all, and I say, God, I want you to take what I have, everything that I have, and use it for your honor and glory. And if all I can do is stand up and tell others what you've done for me and keep somebody from going down that same path, I want to do it for your honor and glory, because you love me enough to save me. Amen. And then glorification. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's where the grace of God is so rich and clean. When you stand before God, I want you to understand something. He chooses to forget. God can forget the hog pen. He can remove it as far as the east is from the west. He puts it behind his back into the depths of the sea because he loves you enough. He can forget it. And when he forgets it and you stand up here and you're telling about Jesus, you know what he requires? He requires that you forget it. I don't know why God sent us this way, but I'll tell you one thing. My heart's heavy, Brother Tommy. You know, I work in an aluminum company. But people know that I'm a Christian. They know that I'm a preacher. And I can tell when they say, can we talk just a minute? Holy Spirit's already said, this is not about work. Real quick story, and we're going to sing. I promise this is the last one. Had a lady that I worked with, a fine lady. She came. She said, can I talk to you a minute? And she told me about her husband. She said, my husband got hurt at work. And in the process of healing, he's got hooked on opiates. She said, he's in trouble. And we prayed. Well, but just a little while later, she wasn't at work one day because her husband, who got hooked on those opiates, that needed to hear a message like this, went to his mother's house where she had cancer, and he drank a whole bottle of morphine, and he died. And I watched that lady shed tears, and I watched her cry. But you know, it was just a couple of years later. She said, would you pray for my son? She said, my son is in trouble. You know, he's watched his dad, and he's seen how his dad's done, and he's struggling. He's struggling with drugs. He's relationship problems. And we'll pray for you, son. He ended up going to prison, and he was a big guy. But let me tell you, somebody tougher out there, I promise you. Big, strong guy. They just about beat him to death. And I remember praying with her about that. Then just a couple of years later, she wasn't at work one day. Her son had overdosed. Within less than 5 years, she lost her husband, she lost her son. And you know what she said? Now, this is where it gets sad, church. She said, at least I won't have to worry about him no more. She said, I've stayed up at night and I've cried. The Holy Spirit's speaking to somebody this morning. Somebody needs God. Amen. This may be the last message you ever hear. And you know what I told the Lord? I said, God, every time I preach, I want to preach just like it's my last time. Rise to your feet. If God has spoke to your heart, God loves you this morning, and God wants to care for you. But here's where we're at. It's up to you. What are you going to do with the call of God? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to know him, because you're not going to live forever. You're going to stand in eternity, and the question is going to be, What did you do with Jesus? God loves you. If you just come and pray, here's one thing I know about this church. I know this, and I defend this church in this manner. People here love you, and they'll pray for you. Would you come? Would you please come?